All right, so let's see what we have here. Today we are on page 41 in the Teachings of Inner Ramana, Exposing the Attachment to Mind. And I don't know if I've told you guys this story once, but you know, you always hear about A Course in Miracles students who at some point throw the book across the room. You always hear these stories. I've never did that, but I did throw the book across the room. It was actually a notebook when this message came, Exposing Attachment to Mind. I couldn't stand it, and I threw the book across the room. So even though the message appears to end, I don't know if there would have been more or not if I hadn't thrown the notebook. I quit this message. I could not stand it. Does that make you want to read it? All right, so here we go. Exposing the attachment to mind. It's not my function to explain the self to you. The self is not to be understood. Rather, it is my function to help you see how you hide the self from yourself, so you can choose to let go of the action of hiding it. You have identified with the mind, which is an error, because you are before the mind. I want you to see first that you have identified with the mind, for you cannot question and go beyond something you do not see. First, you must see it. Then you can choose to question, is this true? We have spoken of your resistance to surrender, and certainly this is something you have noticed by now. May I ask, when you do not want to surrender, what does not want to surrender? Isn't it the mind? Aren't there thoughts in the mind about what you want to do? And don't you want to listen to these thoughts? Why do you want to listen to the thoughts in the mind? Isn't it because you are identified with the mind, as if it is you? Don't you believe that the mind's thoughts are like the skin of you, and to be separated from what you think you want is as terrible as separating the body from its skin? Look at this for a moment and question, do I think I am my mind? Don't you see that this is true? And then the book went across the room, so that's the end of the message. And I didn't feel like stopping and talking at all. I thought I should just read it. But it's interesting because I was having great resistance to surrender. I think I've probably told you guys these stories, you know, like even little things. Like if I had already decided I was going to go check the mail, and then I asked, what am I to do now? And it said, you know, make the bed. I didn't want to. I wanted to go check the mail because I had decided that. Because that was my thought. My thought. Which means I'm identified with the mind. And so I had a very strong resistance to surrender. And now, Inner Ramana was using that resistance to surrender to really shine a light on how identified I was with the mind. And that resistance just came up so strong that I just threw the notebook across the room and couldn't finish the message. But it's completely correct. Why else would I not want to surrender except that I'm identified with the mind? If the mind says, I want to check the mail first, right? Or I want to eat this, or I want to wear this, or I want to say this. You know, intuition saying, keep quiet, but damn it, I want to say it. I want to tell you what I think of you, right? That means I'm identified with the mind. Were you there when I drew the little head on the flip chart? No. One of the things I did at the retreat on a flip chart, I just drew a little head. And on the left side of the head, like up above in a little bubble, it says thought one. And I told them thought one represents the ego. And then up above the head on the right was another little bubble that said thought two. And I said thought two represents what we call Holy Spirit. There are thoughts that are pointing towards truth, spiritual wisdom. But then up above was awareness or no thought. And what I shared, and you all know this, is that the thoughts themselves, whether it's thought one from the ego or thought two from spiritual intuition, the thoughts themselves are actually part of the script. And we have a choice whether we want to cast our attention on thought one and believe the ego, or whether we want to cast our attention on thought two and, you know, believe Holy Spirit and let it lead us out of this again. Or if we want to, like, practice maybe self-inquiry or mantra or something and shift beyond thought completely all the way into just awareness and just be. But what we don't have a choice about is what the thought is. The thoughts are coming in from the script, right? They're coming in from the script. We only have a choice about where we're going to put our attention. Well, if I have thoughts coming, in fact, in the Course, Jesus says, you think, right? Because we think we're thinking these thoughts. We don't realize the thoughts are just being received from the script, or what some people would even call karma. So if I'm receiving these thoughts, these ego thoughts especially, receiving these thoughts from a script, whether they're thoughts that are saying, I want to check the mail, or whether they're thoughts that are saying, I want to give you a piece of my mind, if I'm believing these thoughts and I'm thinking they're my thoughts, that means I'm identified with the mind. If I was in awareness, that's like being above the battlefield, as the Course says. If I saw myself as awareness looking more down on the thoughts, I may still see that the thoughts are coming into the mind, but I'm not identified with them. I don't feel like they're my thoughts. I don't feel, it's more like there's a thought that says to check the mail. It's not my thought, I want to check the mail, right? It's a different perspective. And so he's absolutely correct in pointing out that if I'm really believing that these thoughts are my thoughts and that I want to do that, I'm just completely identified with the mind. I'm not at all aware of myself as awareness. If I was aware of myself as awareness, I wouldn't have to believe any thought. I could just watch them, you know, like you watch, you know, birds fly by in the sky, right? So he made a good point. He made a good point that I was identified with the mind. And that was important to see before continuing.
Yeah. Remember, did you write this before MTI?
After. Yeah. I wrote NTI from August of 2005 to October of 2006. This came starting in February of 2009. So.
The reason I ask is because in NTI, you cover that.
Yeah.
And you said you found yourself attached to.
Well, remember also, I told you when I was writing NTI that, remember I said we got all the way to Revelation before, even though I had written all of NTI, don't forget, it all came through this hand, right? This hand had the pencil or the pen. When I got to Revelation, that was the first time I ever saw that NTI was saying, let go of your thinking. So somehow I had a blind spot, because NTI says that all the way through it. But I was able to write it without seeing it, and that's how attached I was to the mind. Starting in Revelation, I started to see that I was being asked to let go of my thinking. And so this, of course, is, yeah, this is just, you know, now cranking it up a notch. Yeah. It's funny how blind we can be. All right, so that was exposing attachment to the mind. We went through that pretty quickly, so let's see. Yeah, I suppose we'll do clarity on purpose. Page 43. Now that the attachment to mind has been exposed, You see the obstacle to no self. The obstacle is no longer hidden because, like we've said, the obstacle is the thinking. And as we know, NTI Revelation also made that very clear. You also see the value of the mantra and the practice of surrender. Neither of these practices are about the practices in themselves. In both cases, the practices are used as tools or means to gently break the attachment to mind. So again, you know, we keep repeating this, but the purpose of surrender, the purpose of saying, what am I to do now, is so I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do now, right? And the purpose of the mantra, I am that I am, and resting as the silence, is so I'm not just listening to chatter, right? The mantra and surrender are gentle means that allow you to break the attachment to mind while living the life that mind has given you to live. This is like being set free from bondage, and yet no outer changes were required for freedom to be realized. This does not mean there will not be outer changes. It simply means it is realized that the outer changes did not result in freedom. So this tells us we're going to be living the life that mind has given us to live. That's like saying the body is still going to follow the karma, or the body is still going to follow the script. You know, it's going to live the life that mind, because mind is what creates the script or writes the karma, right? It's going to live the life that mind has given it to live. So nothing needs to change at all, although something might change, because in a way you're kind of starting to shift maybe to another script rather than a pure ego script, right? There's a right-minded script too. But nothing needs to change on the outside. All that really needs to change is on the inside. We need to become detached from mind, from listening to the story. We need to learn, you know, for a while we listened to what I called thought two a moment ago, the Holy Spirit. That's a bridge, or spiritual intuition, that's a bridge. But where that bridge is taking us to is up above to no thought or to awareness. What we want to really do is learn to shift into just being with whatever is, just being in acceptance. And, you know, I think we talked about this before, that we think I'm needed. If I'm not here, me, the mind, right? If I'm not here, this body isn't going to do what it's supposed to do. But what we're being told is you're not needed, and the body will do what it's supposed to do. And some people may be very offended by that. You're not needed. But we got to remember, when we're saying you're not needed, we're just talking about this chatterbox. Awareness will still be present, right? And the body will still be moved by the script of the world, the karma of the universe. But this connection that we have to mind, that we identify with as us, it's not at all true. Therefore, it's not at all needed, right?
You know, when you say not only the mantra and the surrender, but when you say about to inquire who is it that wants this, or who is it that's saying this, when you do that, I think that that's another thing being helped to
yes.
get you out of the thoughts and go on to being. I do find that helpful.
That means you're fairly mature, doesn't it? It really does. Because if you aren't fairly mature on the spiritual path, what happens is this. You know, if you ask the question, who is it that wants to check me out? Well, me! I do! I mean, you know, like you don't go anywhere with it. But if you're able to ask the question, but who is it that wants to check the mail? And see, it's the mind, it's not me. And you shift up, that means you're actually fairly mature. So your connection, in other words, your connection to mind is already starting to crack. It's already starting to crack. All right, so starting at the bottom of page 43. We've spoken before that mind cannot be ignored entirely. Mind is a filter that allows one to experience the world. But there is a difference between listening for cues or communication through mind and being identified with it, just as there is a difference between using a hammer and being identified with one. You would not identify yourself with a hammer, even if you use it all day, every day, as your primary means of livelihood. Likewise, it is an error to be identified with the mind. So like this morning, one thing I did, in fact, you might have seen it because you're a member of Awakening Together. Did you get the email I sent today about the new? Well, when you do see it, it's beautiful. The MPP is about the new MPP program. Did you see it? Oh, because MPP is starting up again. So I wanted to let all members know that MPP is starting up again, because it only starts up about once a year. So if you want to join, you know, you got to join now or wait another year. But I didn't want to send out just another boring-looking email. And so I've seen people that send out these really cool, almost newsletter-like looking things, but I didn't know how to do that. So I did a search on how to create an email newsletter, and I discovered that one program I already have does it, and I didn't know it. So I went in, and I found the templates, and I played with it, and I learned how to do things, and I learned how to create links, and I created this really nice-looking email, and I sent it out. Now, do you think I could have done that without the mind? No. See, that's what he's saying. He's saying, you know, the mind is a tool, and you're going to use it, right? You are going to use the mind, but you don't need to be identified with it. You need to see the mind as a tool, just like you see a hammer as a tool and a stapler as a tool and, you know, everything else. So some people, when they start reading teachings like this, it's like they think the mind is bad or the mind is taboo, and that somehow we're not supposed to, you know, like if you think you're bad. And it's not saying this. You know, that's it, because you're going to use the mind to figure out how to create a newsletter and a program if you've never done that before. But being identified with the mind, believing every little thought that comes into the mind as if it's your thought, that's what's deluded. The best way to break identification with the mind is to cease the activity of listening to it as if it is you. As we have said before, you must lose interest in it. And yet, remember that it is a tool that will occasionally be used to contact you and move you. So do not be afraid of it. Be willing to keep mind open, always ready to receive communication and guidance from me. In her book, A Thousand Names for Joy, Byron Katie kind of describes this experience of having the mind move you. There's this one chapter in that book where I don't remember what she was doing. I'll say she was doing dishes. You know, she might have been doing dishes. And then I think the doorbell rang, if I remember correctly. And there's this thought, oh, I'll get the door. And so she stops doing dishes and starts walking for the door. And then the phone rings. And she goes, oh, I'll get the phone. And she turns. And somehow in the turning, if I remember correctly, she falls. And she falls on the ground and goes, oh, the floor caught me. You know, so there were still little thoughts there, right? But there wasn't chatter about, oh, my God, you know, here I am trying to do the dishes and the phone's ringing and the doorbell's ringing and, you know, why can't people, right? It was just, and so these thoughts, and if you pay attention, you'll notice you have those thoughts too, these thoughts that just move you. Ah, time to get something to eat. Ah, you know, they're just like, they don't have any commentary about them. And Thich Nhat Hanh calls them initial thoughts.
Initial.
You know, and he said the initial thoughts are typically quite clean. You know, they're just these movement thoughts. But then we have the commentary after the initial thought, right? And that's the crap. So this is saying, you know, you're still going to have this type of thinking that just kind of moves you about. Oh, time to dust the furniture, you know, and you'll go and you dust the furniture. And so don't be afraid of these very neutral thoughts that come that are just moving you about. That's all they're doing.
Some people call it horse sense, but there isn't a lot of activity that needs to take place to get up and make yourself a cup of tea.
Right, but there might still be the thought, ah, I want tea.
It's just sort of like, I just came across, it's this horse sense folk wisdom, whatever. It's very reliable and very simple, clean. I like
yeah,
that clean.
Clean.
And okay, time for tea. But at that point, the mind's become an ally, a powerful ally. Very, you know, very innocent and pure, and
yeah.
And can be like, you know, we use the word tool here, but ally versus tyrant.
Yeah, ally versus tyrant.
Supreme
yeah.
politician or decision maker. It's not to be dismissed.
Right.
Rather to be sort of you lose interest in the chatter.
Yeah, lose interest
it's
in the chatter.
It's still there. The needed intelligence will be there. And the course says a healed mind doesn't plan. I used to plan. Well, part of my job is event planning. It's written in my job description. So always I'm doing something now, you know, for the future. And it was a source of preoccupation, and so I discontinued, the planning and relied more on the needed intelligence to be there. And that's a gem that you handed me, you know, directly. I'm not aware of it, but the expression now, I didn't know what I was doing, but I handled it like a real pro. Very, very nice for me.
Yeah. All right, good. So we know now that the mind will still communicate with us and move us. So I'm going to start again with the best way to break identification. The best way to break identification with the mind is to cease the activity of listening to it as if it is you. As we have said before, you must lose interest in it. And yet remember that it is a tool that will occasionally be used to contact you and move you. So do not be afraid of it. Be willing to keep mind open, always ready to receive communication and guidance from me. Me is a symbol that is helpful for communication, but there is no true guide waiting to give commands or guidance to a surrendered servant. There is no other. All guidance comes from the unified field of mind. All guidance is guidance from one. So again, even those thoughts that are coming into the mind saying, oh, time for tea, you know, time for bed, time to get up, oh, go to the bathroom, you know, all of these types of thoughts. This is actually the script, moving the body around. And, you know, maybe at some time there's an awakening that's so beyond mind that we're not even hearing those thoughts anymore. Like the body is just moving. I don't know. Robotic. I don't know. But what happens, at least at our level of experience, as we learn to let go of the chatter, let go of the chatter, let go of the chatter, we start just hearing what I call the clean part of the script, which just is the movement. You know, just the movement. But what's moving the body, what's feeding you the thought that it's time to eat, it's not you thinking. And see, if you think it is, you're still somewhat identified with the mind, right? It's not you thinking, it's the script coming in, moving you. So the whole world, the whole universe is telling you, it's time to eat, it's time to go to bed, it's time to get up, right? You're being moved around. When you are not identified with the mind and you are not attached to specific activities or ideas in the world, you are free to listen through mind like one who receives knowledge from the movements of the wind. You can trust that where you are placed and what you are asked to do is always in the best service. In perfect harmony with the whole. You are never disconnected, and you are always at peace with it. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, so when we let go of the chatter and we're just listening to the movement thought, we're in harmony with the entire universe, and we're always just right where we're supposed to be, doing right what we're supposed to be doing. We can't be out of whack in any way. Not that you can really ever be out of whack. Because again, it's almost like there's two possible scripts to listen to. And NTI talked about this. You could be listening to the ego and you could be going around yelling at people and being rude and all of that. But that still comes from the one. So you're still connected. But it's not the harmony of the one, if that makes any sense. It's the craziness of the one. And when you are listening to only the movement thoughts and you've let go of all of the chatter, now you're in harmony with the one. Page 45. Cues can come before mind. What I mean to say is, an idea of movement or action may come through mind, followed immediately with identification to mind and more thinking about the cue. When one comes to notice the difference between the unattached, impersonal cue and the attached identification and thinking that follows, one will also see immediately when to return the mind to silence while still following the impersonal prompt or cue. So this is what I said Thich Nhat Hanh calls initial thought. So again, I'm doing the dishes and the doorbell rings and the thought is, oh, answer the door. But then the thinking comes in. It could be, oh my God, I can't get anything done. I'm always so busy. Why don't people leave me alone? Or it could be, that was guidance. I wonder who's going to be at the door. This must be really special. I need to act real spiritual as I open. It could be anything, right? But the only thing that was clean there was go to the door. Everything else was going returning to attachment to mind. And so that's what this is talking about. Pay close attention. Because those initial thoughts will come in, those movement thoughts. But if we're still attached to mind, then there'll also be a lot of dialogue that follows. And it's the dialogue that follows that we need to just dump all that conversation, but go ahead and answer the door with open curiosity. Right? The mantra is helpful because it silences the mind while leaving it open for cues. So again, this is why we practice the mantra. We're really learning to let go of the chatter. I love this paragraph too. Resistance to the easy life of following comes from fear that identity with the mind is you. And yet identity is just an idea. And so it cannot be you. The thing that I love about this paragraph is he calls it the easy life of following. We think that I want to do things my way, and I don't know if we think that's easy or what, but we think it's my way at the very least. And what he's saying is if we would let go of all of that and just surrender to these cues of mind, life becomes easy. So when we're resisting that and trying to hold on to our attachment to mind, we're actually carrying around a bunch of burdens we don't have to carry around. In fact, it reminds me of something that Ramana Maharshi said. He talked about how, in India, a lot of people travel by train, especially in his time. People traveled by train. And he talked about how foolish it would be to be on the train holding your bundles. Why not just put your bundles down? The train will carry them too, right? And that's what what he was talking about, surrender. When we're attached to the mind, it's like we're standing on a train carrying our bundles. We can just put down our bundles, let go of our attachment to mind, and the train will take care of everything, right? So we don't need to be holding on to that attachment. Just let it go, let it go, and let it go, and keep letting it go, and watch how easy life becomes. And everything still gets taken care of, and even gets taken care of more easily. One thing I learned, one of my personality things is that I'm a fairly responsible person. Actually, pretty responsible. and that's good. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being responsible except when you're identified with it, right? And so when you're identified with being responsible, then you have this extra burden of having to be responsible, even though as it turns out I still am. But you have this extra burden of having to be responsible because you're identified with that. And if you ever appear not responsible, then you get to be unworthy, right? Right, the whole thing. So I remember I used to, be trying to hold up my responsible image And I would have thought that in order to be responsible today, I need to do this, X, you know, whatever. And then I would try doing it, and nothing was coming. Maybe I had to write an article, maybe write an email, you know. And it was just a struggle, a struggle, a struggle. When I finally learned to let go of being responsible in that way and just follow the prompt, sometimes maybe I wouldn't get to a particular thing until a couple of days later than my responsible identity would have. But guess what? By the time the prompt came to do that thing, it was easy. Everything I needed to know. If I'm writing an article, the article just came, right? Now again, still outwardly I look pretty responsible because I get everything done. I really do. But I'm not holding up a responsible identity anymore. The difference is now instead of trying to be responsible, I'm just being surrendered. And a responsible personality is being used, if that makes any sense. And so lots of things are getting done, but it gets done so easily. Like this morning with the learning the email template. I mean, I figured the whole thing out by myself, you know, just click here, and it was all easy, it was relaxed. If I had tried to do that at an earlier time, I might not have even been able to realize I had a program that did that. It would have been blocked at an earlier time, right? So resistance to the easy life of following comes from fear that identity with the mind is you. And yet, identity is just an idea, so it cannot be you. One must realize that as long as you have concern for doing or the outer ideas of the world, one is not focused on self. One cannot know self if one will not immerse himself in self. And one cannot be immersed in mind and the concerns of the world and know self too. So yeah, my responsible story still works here. When I was trying to be responsible to the outer world, again, I was carrying burdens, sometimes trying to do things before the universe wanted me to, so therefore before I was being given everything I wanted. But if I just let go of all of that and just be in the flow, then I can start to remember who I am instead of carrying around this false image. I can't know myself as a false image and know myself as who I really am at the same time. But if one will take the time to be immersed in self, one will know self, and one will be guided in the world. You don't lose anything there. In fact, the next sentence says, there is no loss when one chooses to abide in self. Your focus now is to lose interest in the mind. Do not worry that you will miss a cue as it travels to you on the wings of the wind. Always there will come another breeze to guide you. Your function is to abide in self by breaking attachment to mind. So, you know, the mind, of course, wants us to remain attached to it. So it might try telling us that, you know, we need to listen to the planning or we'll miss what we're supposed to do. And this is saying, don't worry about that. If you miss a cue, there'll be another breeze. Focus on letting go of your attachment. And, you know, trust that whatever it is you need to hear, you'll hear. But your job right now is to let go of your attachment to mind. Which means, of course, continue with the surrender and the mantra. That's what that means. So, I suppose if we wanted just to add a little extra something to continue with the surrender and the mantra, what we can add to it is try to become alert to the difference between those initial thoughts, those movement thoughts, and the chatter about it. And try to drop the chatter, but go ahead and do whatever the movement thought suggested. Yeah. Okay, good.